Hebrews chapter 9. As we look into the scriptures today, thinking of all that our great Lord has done for us, and wishing to take a little bit closer look at that this morning. Hebrews chapter 9. Begin reading in verse 22. Hebrews 9, verse 22, the Bible says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. This morning, Heavenly Father, for those of us that know you as our Savior, our hearts overflow with joy at the fact that you truly died for us, and we have come to know that personal relationship with you. And Father, we pray this morning for those who may sense a void, an emptiness, Lord, a disconnect, if you would, and not having that personal relationship, that Father, before they leave here, that they too would be able to say from the depths of their heart, "It was for me he died." God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what we find in both the Old and New Testaments. And Lord, we pray that as we look into your word today, that you would challenge all of us. God, that we would have a greater appreciation for the blood and the necessity of it. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next week, we look forward to celebrating in a concentrated fashion the resurrection of our Savior. But today, I'd like for us to examine his death. Have you ever thought about why it was necessary for Jesus Christ to die? I mean, truthfully, if we think of God as being all-powerful, why couldn't he have merely taken us to heaven without dying? Why couldn't he have thought, well, okay, we'll have some of these here and we'll allow them to go up into heaven and we don't need to send Jesus Christ to this earth? Well, we find here in our passage before us this morning, again, the importance, if you would, the necessity of the blood. Now, the verses preceding our text would go into detail and remind us somewhat of the sacrifices that took place under the law, reminding us also of Moses and what he did and the blood that was shed and how it was spilled over the tabernacle and over those that were involved in offering up the offerings unto God. And yet here in our passage that we see before us, it's important for us to understand that we are very grateful for Jesus Christ and for his death on the cross of Calvary, that we are equally grateful for Jesus Christ and for his resurrection from the tomb. In fact, we will spend all next Sunday reflecting on that wonderful truth. But if Jesus Christ had died, and if Jesus Christ had risen from the tomb and somehow had managed not to shed his blood, you and I this morning would be of all men most miserable. Now, and sometimes when we think about Jesus Christ and all of his agony, we may forget about the fact that, yes, he suffered tremendously. I'm grateful for the fact that he was willing to suffer, knowing full well what was coming for him. And yet when we think about what the Bible is teaching us in our passage before us this morning, we have to keep in mind from the Old Testament standpoint that all of the sacrifices that they made, all of the offerings that were offered up to God, were only able to cover or to help the exterior of man. And yet there was a tremendous difference that took place when Jesus Christ came and shed his blood on the cross regarding the heart of mankind. Now, as we see here in the passage, it tells us almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And you may be thinking, well, why does it say almost? Let's keep in mind in the Old Testament that there were some things that were done that were cleansed both through fire as well as through water. Which is why the Bible teaches us in Numbers 31, verse 23, everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Nevertheless, it shall be purified with the water of separation, and all that abideth not the fire, ye shall make go through the water. There were times, according to the Levitical law that was given to the children of Israel, there were times when a person could be defiled simply by being around, for example, a dead person. And that individual had not necessarily committed a sin, but yet in God's eyes, according to the law, had become defiled because he was around someone who was dead. And so therefore he had to go through a purifying, he had to go through a cleansing, and not necessarily signifying some sin that he or she had committed. But notice at the end of verse 22 that he tells us, without shedding of blood, it does not say is some remission, but it says without shedding of blood is no remission. Now, when we think of the blood of Jesus Christ, and we think specifically of the blood that was shed for us, let's keep in mind when we talk about this blood, that the blood represented, obviously, the life. The life. For the Bible teaches us in Leviticus 17, verse 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Genesis chapter 9 and verse 4, the Bible says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. So when we think about the blood being shed, it was not that this was something that was deliberately gruesome. It was not that this was something that was just trying to paint a horrible picture, but it was helping us to appreciate the fact that that person had not merely given a part of their being, but rather the very life of it. We think of the sacrifices that were offered in the Old Testament time and the animals that were offered. And obviously, if their blood was shed, they ceased to be alive. And so we think of Jesus Christ now coming and offering up himself through his blood so that you and I could have forgiveness or remission of our sins. If you stop to think about the fact that through his blood we are justified, as the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 5. Through his blood we are redeemed. Keep your finger here in Hebrews chapter 9 and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. I'm so grateful that we have been bought back. We have been redeemed. We have been taken away from our master of sin and been cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. But we not only are justified and redeemed by his blood, but we have peace through his blood, as the Bible reminds us in Colossians chapter 1. And furthermore, if you turn back to Hebrews chapter 9, we see another blessing of the blood of Jesus Christ is that our conscience is cleansed. which is why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, in the preceding verse, in verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. We think again, as we examine Jesus Christ and what he did, as we reflect on his blood that he shed for each one of us, it behooves us to be grateful for the fact that we no longer have to have a conscience that for the rest of our lives would seek to tell us that we are guilty if we have been cleansed by the spotless blood of the Lamb of God that came without blemish. But today, as we appreciate the blood of Jesus Christ, as we reflect on his blood, let's keep in mind again the differences between what Jesus Christ accomplished and what was taking place in the Old Testament. Going back here in Hebrews chapter 9, as we continue on, we understand now that what the law did outwardly, as J. Adams points out, by type and shadow, the death of Christ did inwardly as a reality. It says in verse 23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. God wants the children of Israel to understand, and now wants all of us to understand, that everything that they did in the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices that were offered, everything that God had them do step by step in the tabernacle, in terms of offering up to God, was but a type. It was looking forward to what was going to be fulfilled when Jesus Christ came and offered himself on the cross of Calvary. And I am so grateful that now what sets apart Jesus Christ from everything that took place in the Old Testament is what is pointed out for us so clearly here in verse 24. The Bible says, "For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands." We know that Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, did not go into the temple or the tabernacle to shed his blood. But as we continue reading, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. I am grateful for the fact that Jesus Christ, having shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, is now able to be in heaven on the celestial mercy seat, where his blood continues to atone for the sins of all of us. And what a thrill it is to know that although the tabernacle here on earth was a holy place, it stood in the midst of a sinful people. And Christ has now come to accomplish what could never be done in the Old Testament. Because in the Old Testament, on the Day of Atonement, there was an annual occasion when the high priest would go in one time a year into the Holy of Holies and there take the blood and offer that up before God. But keep in mind, there were a couple of differences there. First of all, the blood that the high priest was offering was not his own. The blood that the high priest was offering was the blood of an animal, of someone else. And yet what Jesus Christ came and offered was his own precious blood for you and for me. And what the high priest had to do, he had to go back every single year. And on the Day of Atonement, again and again and again, offer up that blood. But now everything has changed, because now Jesus Christ has come and has offered up his life and his blood once. Once for you and once for me. And yet his sacrifice, as we were looking at back there, if you'd go back to 1 Peter, where we were examining the redeeming factor of the blood of Jesus Christ, notice, as the precious blood was shed, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, in verse 20, the Bible says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world." but was manifest in these last times for you. I'm grateful that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, that that was a part of God's perfect plan before the foundation of the world. God knew the sinful heart, the sinful nature that man would inherit. He knew what Adam was going to do in the Garden of Eden before he ever created him. And as a result, God, being a merciful God, knew that man was going to need to have a sacrifice to be able to satisfy the holiness and righteousness of God. And so therefore, before Adam was ever formed out of the dust of the ground, God had a plan to send Jesus Christ, that his blood would be shed so that Adam and all the rest of us who put our faith and trust in the Lamb of God could look forward to having heaven as our eternal home. And yet, unfortunately, there are those today who totally abuse this matter of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you go back to the book of Hebrews and look in chapter 6, there are those that do not understand and do not appreciate what God has clearly said in his word, where he tells us, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And there are those today, there are churches today, who would try in vain to offer up yet again the blood of Jesus Christ. Whether they do that through what they refer to as mass, or whether they do that as what they refer to in some of their parades and their long festivities and all of the rituals that they go through. And yet, God has some very strong words for anyone who tries or thinks or attempts to prove the fact that Jesus Christ is needed to shed his blood over and over again. In Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 6, the Bible says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open what? Shame. What does God think of those who say, well, you know, we need to again see the blood of Jesus Christ. No, the blood of Jesus Christ is up in heaven where it atones for your sins and for mine. We think of the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. It is not a repeated sacrifice. It is a once and for all sacrifice, where he gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And he did that out of love for you and out of love for me. I'm equally thankful that as we examine our Lord and our Savior and we think of what he did, that as the Bible reminds us, Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. So you see, this matter of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, it was necessary for the remission of sins. It was necessary so that all of our sins could be forgiven. But beyond that, he came one time and offered his life so that our sins would no longer have to be paid for by your blood or by my blood, but rather through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can look forward to having never needing to come face to face with those sins yet again. Which leads me to my next point. If you turn back to Hebrews chapter 9, we understand without shedding of blood is no remission. It is very important. As John Owen pointed out, the putting away of sin is the destroying, annulling, disarming, taking away the force, power, and obligation of a law. So we think, as that Puritan writer reminded us, God's design was that Jesus Christ would come. There was no power of man or of anyone else who could somehow abolish the law of sin, but it could only be accomplished through Jesus Christ, and certainly it is his glory, the glory of Christ, that by his one offering, by the sacrifice of himself, once for all, he hath abolished sin as unto the law and condemning power of it. But there is another truth that must not be overlooked as we think about what Jesus Christ's blood accomplishes. It has paid sin's penalty. And now we can have power over sin because of Jesus Christ's continuing presence before God Almighty up in heaven. And the Bible reminds us in verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Appointed. You and I have a reservation with death. But beyond that, there is also a judgment. And there are those today who would try and think that this doesn't really matter, that I'm not going to be held accountable for my life, that I can do as I please, that I will never come again face to face with what I've done on this earth. And if I choose to reject Jesus Christ, that's my own prerogative and I don't have anything to worry about in light of eternity. No, my friend, if that is what you believe this morning, then you are destined to an eternity without Jesus Christ in a real place called hell, because there is a judgment day that is coming that is unavoidable. But if you will come and receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and allow his blood to cover your sins, you can look forward to avoiding being condemned to death. So we think of the spiritual ramifications here. The Bible reminds us in Acts chapter 17, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. The difference is, those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have allowed for his blood and asked for his blood to cover our sins, we are now under no condemnation. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Jesus Christ is here speaking on this very matter. And in John chapter 5 and in verse 24... Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now here's the difference. Those of us that have received Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have accepted that the blood of Jesus Christ will atone for our sins. We will not come face to face ever with those sins again. We will not see that condemnation that he there describes in John 5 and verse 24. What we will be judged for are simply our works that will be put to the test of fire. And what we have done in the strength of the Lord for the honor and glory of God will come out of that fire as gold and silver and precious stones. We will be able to cast those gifts then, those crowns that we will receive as a result, at the feet of Jesus Christ. But for every child of God here this morning, I want to remind us that if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have to go around with your head hanging down, thinking about the guilt of all the horrible things that you have done in the past. Because if you have asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of those sins, you will never come face to face with those sins ever again. And that, my friend, is a perfect and wonderful reason to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because I can tell you this morning, I've done my share of bad things. I deserve to die and split hell wide open. But because I have repented of my sins, I have turned from my sins unto God, I have allowed the blood of Jesus Christ to cover my sins, and when I come and stand before God someday, I will not be condemned for my sins. But I will be able to spend an eternity in the presence of God, not because of what I've done, but because of the blood that was shed for me. So as we think of all of this and we understand Jesus Christ coming, we realize that it was necessary for him to come. We realize that he has now come once and for all. It's important that we not forget the last motivating factor as a result of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. In verse 28, the Bible says, "So Christ," of Hebrews 9, "was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." You see, I don't run from the soon coming of Jesus Christ. I run toward that day. I don't shun to think of what it's going to be like. I don't shudder to reflect upon the awesomeness of that day. I'm looking forward to it because I know that the blood of Jesus Christ has covered my sins. And as a result, I will spend an eternity with him. But are you looking for his soon return? Paul writes, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ," in Titus 2 and in verse 13. In Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul continues, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." This morning, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you ought to ask yourself, how eager am I for him to return? And perhaps you look at your life today and you think of some things that have not been exactly what they should be, that have not been pleasing unto the Lord. Then it ought to be, in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back soon, that I want to make certain today that I confess that and get that behind me so that I can eagerly anticipate seeing my Savior. But for those of you that are here this morning that do not yet know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you are still under that weight and burden of sin, and you ask yourself, how do you know I'm under a weight of sin? Because I too had the same weight prior to coming to know Christ as my Savior. That's the same sinful nature that every single one of us has before we are born again into the family of God. But to you today, I challenge you to think about the fact of your life, of the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ has offered to you, if you will but repent of those sins and accept the blood that was shed for you as covering, as atonement for your sins. The songwriter says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus." Today, are you looking forward to his appearing? Are you looking forward to when Jesus Christ will come, having already paid sin's penalty, and looking forward to spending an eternity with him? The Word of God concludes in Revelation 22, "He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." If you're a child of God today, that ought to be your prayer. Lord, may it be today. God, wouldn't it be wonderful if today, before the sun sets, if you would come and claim all those who are your children as your own. But equally today, if you are here and you're not a part of the family of God, then I would encourage you today to come and receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Not trying to do things on your own because your blood is not good enough, never could be and never will be. But to realize Jesus Christ came to this earth, shed His blood so that all of your sins could be forgiven. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer, every head bowed and every eye closed.